just take up time.
I don't believe you.
Well, I have an outline. I typically follow it. I really do. Pretty good about that. They're like, well, if you're teaching about being led by the Holy Spirit, why do you have notes at all? Well, have you ever seen me get up and speak without notes? Yeah, it's not spirit-led. It's anxiety-led, so we're just not going to go there. But for me, being led by the Spirit is as I pray, as I study throughout the week and lead for guys, you know, for his direction. He's more than welcome to change this, so we'll just wait 1 second and see if he's going to change. No, we're good. All right. Romans chapter 8. If I wait too long, you might say something different. I don't know what I do. No, I know what I do. We just keep going. But it is week number 5, so I do want to do a little bit of review. And it's not review because I have nothing else to say about the Holy Spirit. I'm ignorant in so many areas and praying for help and direction myself and what he brings forth. I would like to believe that if I spoke next year on the Holy Spirit, there would be a new revelation as I've gotten to know him better for my own life to bring to you and you to share with me on how you know him better a year from now. Amen. So the review is not just because there's not enough material about who all of he is. It's because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And you know, there's this guy who did this series a while back about planting the word of God in your heart and watering it. And if you don't know about that series, you can find it at slcmartinsville.org. He was a good guy. I like him. I did it. But you got to keep watering that word so it grows and so you reap a harvest from it, right? We don't just plant seeds in the ground and then just produce fruit the very next day, right? Instead, we got to water, we got to tend to it, and we got to keep watering. And that's how we eventually get a harvest. And so that's what we're doing here when we review. The point is so that we are watering what's already been sown, and then we're going to sow new alongside of that in the ground that is our hearts. So Romans chapter 8, this is our key verse for this study. This is week 5, and we'll review some here. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." So if we're led by fear, what's that lead us into? It leads us into bondage. That's not fun. But if we are the children of God, we can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. "You've not received again the spirit of bondage to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Verse 16. "The Spirit itself," or better translations, and your newer ones will have this, "himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." How do you know that you are saved? How do you know that you're a child of God? Inside of you, there is someone else, and he bears witness with your spirit that lets you know you are saved. You are born again. If you were to die today, you would be going to heaven. If you don't have that witness inside of you, then hallelujah. Just like through VBS this last week, you have the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, today. And as soon as you do, as soon as you acknowledge what Jesus has done for you, that he is the Son of God who died and rose again, you believe that in your heart, and you confess it with your mouth, a creative miracle takes place inside of you, and your spirit is reborn. And all of a sudden, you are the temple of the living God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I wasn't going to go here, but I believe that I'm being prompted to do so. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, or chapter 6, I'm sorry, says it like this. Verse 19, "What? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Inside of you are two people or two spirits that are working together. Your spirit and the Holy Spirit. Your spirit recreated upon salvation, and the Holy Spirit who comes and takes place and residence in you upon salvation as well. We need to understand that when he speaks to us, it's not going to be an audible voice necessarily. It's not going to be a physical sensation or hot flashes or cold chills. You know what? Depending on what phase of life you're in, hot flashes may be an everyday thing for you. And if we attribute that to the Holy Ghost, then a lot of people are super spiritual around a certain decades in their life. That's not the case, right? But it's a co-witness. He says in Romans chapter 8 that he witnesses with. It's a co-witness. It's a together witness. He witnesses with. This is the number one way that God leads us, by this co-witness in our spirits, not necessarily an audible voice. If you're looking for voices, there's lots of voices out there. Lots of, more so now than any other time, can you be affected by the voices of all those in the world with social media, the internet, and whatever else is out there. So be careful not going to look for a voice. There's somebody else inside of you. When we get something in here and then he confirms it, that is the second witness. It's not our understanding. Too often in my life, I've been head led, but Proverbs 3:5 is clear on this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Who lives in our heart? Not the thing that pumps blood through our body. Our heart is the center of our being. The Holy Spirit lives there. God's Spirit lives inside of us. We are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not, rely not on our own understanding. And I know some things. I know some things because I paid a lot of money to know some things. I went to college, right? And some of those things I'd like to forget, and some of the most things I have forgotten. But if I lean just on my understanding, I'll be head led. I don't want to be led by my head. I don't want to be led by my rationale. I don't want to be led by money. I don't want to be led by feelings. I don't want to be led by pressures of my friends or my family or even my job. I want to be led by one, and that is the Holy Spirit and him alone. He is all God, and we need to know him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, if you put that up there, Chad, this is, again, one of our key verses that we were using. Maybe it's not up there. I'll have to turn to it. I'm turning, and I'm looking. But it says that we are to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion. That word is fellowship. It's intimacy. It's partnership with the Holy Spirit. We are to get to know him all the days of our life. The last day that we have here on earth should be the best we know the Holy Spirit. That's the best we know him. Because we are striving to fellowship with him every... How do I know Kendall, my wife? Because we've spent almost 17 years, well, over 17 years, been married almost 17 years together. We've eaten a lot of dinners together. We've gone to a lot of activities together. We've had children together. This is how I know her, by spending time, by fellowshipping with her. We're going to be doing the same thing with the Holy Spirit inside of us. Amen. Acts chapter 15. We went over this last week. Acts chapter 15. If like I said, if you've missed this, you can go to our website, socmartinsville.org. We have covered a ton of information already in the first 4 weeks about who he is. The title of the series is His Nature and Leading. In the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about his leading. And that's where we've been in Acts. Because Acts is, it's called the Acts of the Apostles, but men gave it that title. To me, it's more the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. And this book is still being written today. We're on chapter and verse 9,000, 9 million, whatever, and verse 24, whatever it may be. It's still being written today because the Holy Spirit, he is all God. He's been here since the day of Pentecost, which is today, or we celebrate it as today. And so Acts chapter 15, verse 22, we read this last week. Then it pleased the apostles. In other translations, it said it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, named Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. How did they choose who went for the ministry? It seemed good. They had witness in their spirit, and it seemed good. Verse 23, and they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren, sending greetings unto the brethren, which are the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law to whom we gave no such commandment. So these were Gentiles who were just born again, and they wanted to know what they had to do to stay that way. And the Jews want to put all these laws back on them. Well, they were freed from the laws, right? It says, stand fast in the freedom wherewith you have been set free. And be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage in Galatians chapter 5. That's talking about the yoke of bondage to the law that they were in bondage to. The do's and the don'ts that they couldn't do by themselves. They needed salvation and the infilling of the Holy Spirit in order to fulfill that law. And now we have that law. And that law is what? Love. Love is the law that we as Christians are to live by. You're like, well, what about the Old Testament? What about the Ten Commandments? Aren't they still valuable? Absolutely, they're still viable today. If I don't murder you, I love you, right? If I don't covet the things you have, I love you. If I don't commit adultery with your wife, I love you. If I don't serve other gods, I love him. You understand? All it can be wrapped up, Jesus said, in love. Loving your neighbor as yourself, loving the Lord God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all of your being. If we do that, we fulfill all of the law. So anyway, this is what was happening. I was trying to get back in some of these issues. Verse 25, it seemed good to us being assembled with one accord to send chosen men with you, beloved Barnabas and Paul. It seemed good. They had a witness in their spirit to send them forth too. How often, and the reason I'm bringing this up is, how often is the Holy Spirit leading us, but we're ignoring it, we're pushing it down, and we're not recognizing it being him, because we're looking for something else. But it seemed good. men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 27, we have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. Verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden on these necessary things. It seemed good. Are we following our seamer in life? Where is our seamer? It's our heart. It's where the Holy Spirit lives. It's where he dwells within inside of us. You know, you can go your whole life and never see an angel or have an open vision or fall in a trance or hear the audible voice of the Lord. It doesn't mean that you're unspiritual at all. It doesn't mean that something's wrong with you spiritually. But we can still be led by the Spirit every day of our life by his witness in our hearts and by his word he's given us every day. And so often we look at to experiences and we exalt experiences. If we have an experience, we are not going to elevate that above the word of God or above the witness of the Spirit in our hearts. It's awesome for these experiences the Lord blesses us with. But experiences aren't doctrine. This is how we can go astray, by elevating experience above God's word, and we can create new doctrines like this, the first church of the audible goosebumps. We don't want that. We don't want to be led by, come here. How many ministries have you seen? God started a work, began a work. Man grabbed a hold of that work. And they exalted the manifestations and left out the manifester. And those ministries don't exist today. Or they're written about in the annals of history as, they turn into cults. You know, I've been watching it, and the Holy Spirit prompted me to stop watching it. So I'm repenting in front of you as well. But we're doing a young adults Bible study on Friday night. So we've been talking about the Holy Spirit from when we started, February to now. We just finished this last Friday night. And I've enjoyed it. I really have. Our Connect group that Kendall and I and Andy Laura we led was on the Holy Spirit, a book by John Bevere, one that he wrote that we went through. So this has been in me since we've been preparing for those Connect groups last fall. And that's why the series is coming to you now. It's like, I got to get it out. You need to have this so I can fill up more stuff inside of me. But anyway, the Lord started leading me as we're going through the Young Adults Bible Study, and I went through it into my library, and I said, oh, man, I forgot I had this pamphlet, and it's a pamphlet of world religions and cults, and he spread it out. It's like this long, right, Luke? I mean, it was pretty long. I mean, his eyes wide when I showed it to him. And I have a book on world religions cults. We took a Bible study class through CLST a long time ago on world religions and cults, and I like learning about it. But I said, here, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. There's 17 different religions on this thing. Let's see how these religions... Let's see how they see the Holy Spirit. He's not even a part of their religions. Let's turn there. Don't take my word for it. John 14, verse 16 through 17. This is biblical. He's not even a part. Or he was some kind of spooky, eerie entity they had no idea about. Well, why? Well, John chapter 14 speaks of this. John chapter 14, verse 16 through 17. And I will pray to the Father, this is Jesus speaking, and he shall give you another comforter. That word another means another of the same kind. Who was the first comforter? Jesus. Jesus was the first comforter, comforting disciples and all they said and did and ministering to them. Okay, he says, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you another comforter, that he will abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him, neither knows him. The world cannot see the Holy Spirit, doesn't know the Holy Spirit. So it's no doubt when we're looking at what are these other religions believe about the Holy Spirit, they have no clue about whether there be a Holy Spirit or not. Because the world cannot receive him, they don't see him, and they don't know him, the Holy Spirit. So we're going to continue on this. Why are we continuing about world religions? Because we live in a world full of other religions and beliefs. And as young adults, especially as you're getting ready to get married, especially as you get ready to have children, start families, or you're new to a workplace, or you're in college, one of the most liberal institutions that we have now is higher education. And they have their own doctrines that they breathe constantly from their pulpit, which is the classroom. We need to know what we believe, and we need to know how to respond in truth and in love. And that's why we're going forth to that. You're welcome to come join us on Friday nights when we have a young adults Bible study, if you're a young adult. There's a qualification there. But John 14, let me continue to read here, verse 17. It says, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him, neither knows him, but you know him. How do we know him? Because he dwells with you and shall be in you. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and has been here ever since. All who shall receive him and yield to him, he will be the most amazing helper. There's no one better than him. The Holy Spirit knows everything about everyone. In week 2, we studied how the Holy Spirit, he is God. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is all-powerful and he is eternal. All attributes of God the Father as well. He is the Spirit of God, and he is within us. He's who we have now. We don't have Jesus walking with us like the disciples did. Jesus is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. When Jesus returns, he's returning. And that'll be it. And then we'll all have him. But right now, we have his Spirit to help us, to guide us, to lead us and direct us. The Amplified says it here when it says the word comforter. It says helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. All words encompassing that word comforter. That's who he is. You can surround all those together by saying he helps us. John 16, if you turn the page here, verse 13. Still in the Gospel of John. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, whatever the Holy Spirit hears, that's what he's saying, whatever the Holy Spirit hears, that will he speak. And the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. How can we, you and I, know what the truth is? By the Spirit of truth inside of us. That's the only way. How can we understand the Word of God? By the author of the Word of God who lives inside of us. And how can we know the best way to do anything in our lives? By the Holy Spirit. See, we don't have a helper. We have the helper. He knows everything about everything. If he were to right now unveil to your mind, and your mind is not your brain. Your brain is just the organ that your mind functions through. When you die, you still have your mind. Amen? When you die, you still have your mind. You see, we need to stop saying things all the time like, well, you know, I'm just getting old. I'm starting to forget things. No, I have the mind of Christ. I can know more at the end of my life than I've ever known and be as sharp as a tack. I don't have to go the way of that. I don't have to. My mind is intact and it is whole. You know, when I was in college, actually when I was in high school, I loved biology class. I loved it. I was passionate about biology and completely dispassionate about my teacher of biology. And that's why I went into teaching, you know, as biology for education. And that's why I got into science and that was my degree in college. But I remember studying genetic diseases. And as a freshman in high school, I was studying genetic diseases. And there was this one disease that came out. It's Huntington's disease. That's a terrible disease, okay? It comes on in your late 30s, whatever, early 40s. But it's a degenerative mind disease. And people end up losing their mind, living in Patterson cell, whatever. But that was way back in the 90s. Now they can live a little bit of a better life now with the treatments they have. But for some reason, that fear of that disease gripped me in high school that I would have Huntington's disease. I don't know why. I have no idea. Well, I know why. We have an enemy. We have an accuser of the brethren, right? There's someone who hates us and wants to destroy us. He's a thief and he wants to kill and steal and destroy. But that just gripped me in my life. And I'm thinking about, no. When I got saved in college, not saved, but I renewed my life to the Lord and you know, decided to serve him and not myself. All of a sudden, these thoughts from high school started coming back. Well, why? The enemy wasn't happy with losing somebody who was just living the way they wanted to live and wanted to follow after the Lord Jesus. So they started coming back to me about losing my mind. Well, I got a hold of this, I don't know, a couple years after I started coming to Spirit of Life Church, so this had been early 2000s, I got a hold of the mind of Christ and who I was in Jesus Christ. Who I am as Christ's brother, joint heir, as God's son. And realizing that I have the mind of Christ, I don't have any fear of Huntington's disease whatsoever. Amen. I'm delivered from all that fear and all that bondage because I have the mind of Christ. So when you say, oh, I'm just getting older, I just forget things, don't say that. You could be 20 and forget something. You didn't sleep last night. Who knows? Okay? But Jesus, he is the high priest of what? Of our confession. He can use the words that we speak. He's not going to use the words we speak that are negative, that don't line up with his word. But when I speak out, I have the mind of Christ, he can use that. And the Holy Spirit who does and manifests on his behalf can use that in my life. And I do have, and you do have, the mind of Christ. That was all free. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So let's look at some of the ways. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit, his nature, and the way that he leads us. See, this is what happens when you say I have extra time. All those things I didn't put in my notes, the Holy Spirit just reminds me and they just come out to you. But you have the mind of Christ. It doesn't matter how old you are. That's irrelevant. Your mind is eternal. John, 1 Corinthians. This is our main text for today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are going to look at some of the ways the helper, he helps us. Right? This is part of his nature. We were looking at his leading. We're still going to continue on that. But this is his nature. 1 Corinthians. And I'm not saying that I know all about all and all this. Absolutely not. I'm just going to reveal to you what I believe the Lord has shown me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to start in verse 1. Sorry, Chad. Now concerning spiritual things, the gifts is in italics. I didn't say gifts, but this is just concerning things of the Spirit. brethren. So who's he speaking to? Is he speaking to unbelievers? Speaking to the church. He's not going to speak to unbelievers about spiritual things or things of the spirit because they don't receive them, because they don't know them, they don't see them. It would make no sense. What are we going to speak instead to unbelievers? Jesus and Jesus crucified. Paul said, I preach Christ and Christ crucified. Amen? And then once they're saved, then we can go into speaking as Paul is here. I would not have you ignorant. Now, why is that in the Bible? I would not have you be ignorant. There must have been some ignorance about these things that Paul is trying to alleviate, or else he wouldn't have said, I'd have you not be ignorant about it. And we got to understand, when Paul's writing the New Testament to the church of Corinth, he's writing to the church of the Ephesians at Ephesus, Galatians, Philippians, these are all Holy Spirit-filled, Bible-believing, tongue-talking Christians. See, sometimes we forget that when we read the New Testament. But this is who he's talking to, especially at Corinth. In fact, they spoke in tongues so much, he had to bring some correction and direction and some guidance in their lives, for that purpose. Verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Now, why do you say that? Because there must have been people standing up, prophesying, or saying they were speaking by the Holy Spirit and cursing Jesus. Isn't that crazy? But it must have been happening because he's saying you can't be doing that by the Spirit and calling Jesus accursed. Okay, so Paul's bringing correction here. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. Verse 7, but the manifestation, what a great word. The manifestation means to show openly, to express, to reveal. The manifestation, the open showing, the expression of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Who's it given to? Every man. Who in here, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and repented of sins and dead works, that he's the Son of God, who is the manifestation of the Spirit given to? All of you. All of us. He's talking to believers. These manifestations are for all of us. Are we believing that today? Are we seeing that today in our lives? Follow me here. Verse 8. For to one is given the Spirit, or is given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. Now, a literal translation says, given by the Spirit, a word of wisdom. To another, a word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith. Some translations say special faith. We all have faith, right? We all have faith for salvation, but this is different. This is a special supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life, a way he helps. Okay? By the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healings, in a literal translation, by the same Spirit. To another, the workings or the in workings of mighty deeds, here in the King James says, of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discernings of spirits. To another, kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. There's 9 of them here that we listed. This is where we're beginning. This is the way the Holy Spirit helps us. But all these work that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally, individually, is another way to say that, as he will. The Spirit of God shows up in our life in these ways to help. In these ways to help. Now, there are scores of Christians who love the Lord, who are going to heaven, who serve the Lord by the inner witness and by the word of God, but they don't believe in all of these. Or they may say that it has passed away. But we got to be careful, because in that scripture where it says tongues have passed away, it also says knowledge has ceased and wisdom has ceased. Is that the case? No, nobody believes that. But just about tongues. Why is it always coming? Again, it's the day of Pentecost. And we here believe in the full infilling of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. Why is that the issue? The issue typically is because they haven't experienced themselves. And so in order to validate the lack of experience, our doctrine goes that direction. But for me, I don't know all the things of the Bible. I don't know all the things of the Lord. So my prayer instead is, Lord, this is your word. I believe it to be true. Please elevate my experience to match your word. Instead of changing your word to match my experience. Because I'm only 40 and I plan on living 80 more years. Amen? That's what he's given me, right? 120 years. So I have a long time still to have my experience match the word of God in all things that are in it. I've not seen somebody raised from the dead yet with my own eyes. But praise God, it's done. Paul, Peter, Jesus. Amen. Spirit of Life Church next. Right? We are still the church of Acts. Right now, right now, filled by the Holy Spirit. If I or you are not experiencing these through our lives, sprinkled in and out of our lives, then we are not receiving the full help of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's my heart's desire. I want to receive his full help. But you know what? It's not a him problem. Whose problem is it? It's a me problem. It's a me listening. It's a me obeying. It's a me yielding. It's a me seeing and connecting with what he's doing instead of me walking forward, doing something, and asking him to help me. And that's what we often do in life, or I've often done in life. I've started a work and asked him to help me with that work. That's not the way it should be done. The work should not be started unless the Holy Spirit has guided and directed us to do that work. And then it will prosper. Amen. In verse 7, it says that these are given to every man, talking to believers, to profit everybody. In verse 11, who can have these manifestations? It said, we already read this, divided to every man. Do we know what these are? Do we know what they look like? Again, verse 1 of this scripture says, don't be ignorant of these things. So that's where we're going. That's where we're headed right now, is to not be ignorant of these things. But we want to have a knowledge and understanding of what they look like so we can recognize them and stop pushing them down through ignorance, or especially not through disobedience. When we are speaking to be led by the Spirit, you know, we will probably miss it. But we need to begin to step out. This is why we started the well. If you've not come, join us. I believe right now in this infancy where we're starting, it's going to just be, continue to be a progressive work. Why? It is an opportunity for you to listen and yield to the Holy Spirit to allow the ministry he's given you to come forth. Last time we got together, Josh spoke for the first time. Sharon spoke for the first time in front of the body. It's an opportunity for you to be led by the Holy Spirit to give a word of, or to release a word of knowledge given to you, or a word of wisdom or a prophecy. That's why we started the well. So next time that we have one, come on out. We are growing and flexing our and maturing our spirit. I mean, how many of us spend time in the gym every week? Growing and flexing and building our bodies. How many of you read extra things or do crossword puzzles or play games to grow and flex and develop your mind? But yet we ignore our spirit. Well, this is why one of the reasons that we started and began the well. 1 Corinthians, I'm going to stay right here in this crap. I'm still in 8 through 10. I'm going to read these manifestations again. The Spirit, the word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, another faith, another gifts of healing, another the working of miracles, another prophecy, discernings of spirits, tongues, and the interpretations of tongues. These are 9 ways that he manifests and acts as helper in our lives. But, you know, what we need to understand is we first need to recognize that these are some of the ways, not all the ways, some of the ways that he manifests. We need to recognize that it is the Holy Spirit who's wanting to say or do something and yield to that instead of saying or doing what we want to say or do. It's like last week I told you when you're in an awesome conversation with your spouse and you just got to get that last point across. Because once you do, she'll just lay down and be like, oh, honey, I never knew you were so wise. You're right. No, that's not what happens, right? Instead, she got to come back with her point because flesh starts battling flesh. We don't want to be that way. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit. We want to recognize that he's saying, shut up, dummy. And we stop speaking. I can say dumb. It just said dumb idols in verse chapter 12, or chapter 12. I read it. But you see what I'm saying? We got to understand and recognize that. We won't get in those conversations with our spouse or with our children. You know, we can expect as our children are maybe younger in the Lord, maybe they're more mature than us as parents. That could be the case too. We can expect if not walking with the Lord as long or yielding the Holy Spirit, that they may have some flesh that shows every once in a while. I know your children are perfect. So are mine. I told Haley I stopped talking about her, so I'll stop talking about her. She's perfect. She's 13 today, by the way. So pray for me. Oh, you're clapping? Really? Y'all are just falling on your face and start interceding for Kendall and I. She's 13. I mean, come on. But anyway. But we don't have to respond. The Lord will direct us how to respond to that child in that moment. And believe it or not, it may not be give them their way. And it may not be raise your voice. It may be a completely way thing you never would have thought of. Think of it this way. The Israelites left Egypt. A million or more, right? Lots of them. And they're all of a sudden thinking, how are we going to hunt and find all this food? How are we going to fish and find all this food? They're thinking of all these ways that they need to be fed and watered. And not one time did it cross their mind that manna would fall from heaven. God has a different way. We've done things our ways a lot in life. He has a different way. Manna fell from heaven. Who'd have thought? Who'd have thought if you spoke to a rock or struck a rock that it would turn to water you could drink? I wouldn't have thought that. I'm not going to go out and start hitting rocks at home. How did Moses know to do that? He was led by the Spirit. The Lord spoke to him. A little different. He was not a believer as we are. Jesus not yet died. There was not yet redemption for the sins. Right? They did the yearly thing to get rid of their sins. But Jesus not yet sacrificed for that. He wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit continually at all time. Because he had not yet come. The day of Pentecost had not yet happened. The next thing we do after we recognize it's the Holy Spirit who is speaking or wanting to say or do something is we need to respond to him. We need to yield and to act on the prompting and urgings of the Holy Spirit. And this is where I say you might miss it. You might, you know, say something to somebody. I gave this example to Luke, young adult. I said, hey, you, Luke, have an 80-something dollars blue truck. He's like, it's a 94. Is that right? I'm like, oh, I totally missed it. But I might miss it stepping out. But I would have been close with the Dodge and the blue. Of course, I've already seen it. I just didn't know the year. But you see what I'm saying? We may miss it. But this is another reason why we started the well. It is a safe place to step out. Because prophecies here will be judged. They are to be judged. By what? By the inner witness that I have. Because the one giving me the prophecy, by the Holy Spirit, I have the same Holy Spirit inside of me. When the Holy Spirit speaks to the Holy Spirit, they say the same thing. They don't contradict one another. And it's also going to be judged by the word of God. If somebody comes to you and gives you a prophecy and they say, hey, you ought to do this. And, you know, you ought to go throw your babies off of a mountain. This is a crazy example. That's not biblical. Don't follow that advice. Amen? I'm only saying that because at one time I was driving in the mountains. I didn't throw a baby. And the worst part about this is, as I told Mark at men's group, and not only Mark, but everybody was there. But Kendall and I were at Smoky Mountains, and we were just driving. There's all these like little trails here and there, and I'm like, oh, that's so cool. And this thought, it's not my thought. I'm not claiming this thought, but a thought came to my mind. See, the enemy can do that too. He said, that'd be a great place to just throw off a child. You'd never be found. Yeah, that's horrible, isn't it? This is why we got to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we got to renew our minds, right? And be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so I shared that thought in men's group, but I've never heard the end of it. And that's the second time publicly I've shared that with people. I didn't do that. I have all three children, amen, still. Right? But we got to understand, you know.
That's why they clapped when she turned 13.
Yeah, she made it. We haven't been back to Gatlinburg since. No, I'm just kidding. She's good. But we got to respond when he's leading and prompting us. When the devil is, just say, shut up, devil. No. You know, he wants to kill and steal and destroy you. You know, thoughts of suicide are the enemy's way of constantly attacking you over and wearing and beating and coming after you over and over and over again. Thoughts of depression, constant. And they're not real. I'm not saying they're not real. The enemy is real. But thank God, the greater one's inside of us. And thank God our minds can be renewed. Amen. And they are renewed in his word, by his word, by his spirit. Amen. And then the last thing, and the most important thing is when the Holy Spirit's wanting to sing to him, we need to reverence him, for he is all God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, do not quench the spirit. That word means smother, like throwing something wet over a fire. We quench him when we push him down, or we ignore his leading, we ignore his urgings and his promptings. But a lot of times, it's not out of rebellion. It's just out of, we don't know it's him speaking. It's a thought that just may not make sense to us. And so we just kind of ignore it. And I'm going to get into some of these examples here in a minute. But it also says in his word in Ephesians chapter 4 that we are to grieve not the Holy Spirit. This is part of reverencing him and who he is. And it goes through Ephesians chapter 4. It goes through several different ways that grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go ahead and turn there because I have time. But Ephesians chapter 4, it says, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed. Amen. I'm stamped with the approval of God. And he also, the seal of my inheritance, my eternal inheritance, a promise from God. Here, I'm sending you my spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever. This is my promise to you, that what Jesus did is eternal, and you will live before me as a child. Whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. Let all, now here's ways that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Ways we don't grieve him. Be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. It grieves the Holy Spirit when we're in these knockdown, drag-out fights. I'm not saying that to condemn anybody. We've all been there. Amen? I mean, I've had blood, other people's blood on me, because I was around a fight. I wasn't involved in a fight. I'm not a fighter. Never been in a fist fight. I wouldn't win. What's the point? So anyway, but I was at college, and of course, there was some inebriation going on. And my roommate, whom I didn't like very much at the time, had a friend I liked even less that he invited over, and he started picking a fight with my neighbor. I'm like, shut up, dummy, that's my neighbor. I got to see him every day. And my neighbor was ripped. When I say ripped, I mean this was before it was popular. He was ripped. One of the guys who couldn't turn his neck because the muscle from his jaw went straight to the end of his shoulder. She's like, what's up? You know what I mean? He's just a big, you know? And I liked him. I liked him. He was a good guy. But my idiot friend started picking a fight with this guy. And he threw him down the stairs. The big guy did. And I was happy. But then the other guy, he got up. And I'm like, just go away. Just get out of here. And as I was just pushing him back this way, I'm so mad about this today. He reached over. I had my favorite shirt on. It was a party. There might have been some ladies there. I didn't meet Kendall yet. You know, that's okay. He reached over me and sucker punched the rip dude. I was so mad. And when he did that, some of the blood from him getting tossed on the stairs got on my shirt. I was furious. I mean, that was my lady's shirt. I'm like, so anyway, three of us got him out of the parking lot. I was so mad in Salisbury Street in Lafayette, Indiana, West Lafayette, Indiana. I was so angry. Now, this won't sound like me, so you're going to have to forgive me. I wasn't living the way I should have lived. I walked up and down Salisbury Street for half an hour swearing any cuss word I could think of at the time. I'm just true story. Just cursing like a sailor. I hadn't even met a sailor, but I was cursing like a sailor. And just going to town, just giving all my flesh. I was so angry, upset. And in the middle of swearing and cussing, out of anger, true cursing, right? It says, let no corrupt, verse 29, in the same chapter, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. This was corrupt, I'm telling you. The Lord spoke to me, and I haven't cussed since. Now, I've said some words that weren't quite appropriate, but in my flesh, just for a reaction, which is wrong too, I know it is. But it wasn't cursing out of my heart, out of anger. I wasn't damning things. Does that make sense? That was where that word came from. You know, to damn something was to curse it, to want it to die, to want it to go away or whatever. But the Lord spoke, even in the midst of that, I had a witness inside. I knew I wasn't doing right, and I stopped there immediately. And at that point later, you know, for me, it was only another month or two, and stop all drink, the Lord told me to. That was the end of that as well. And all that had to be done because I had to meet my wife, and she wouldn't have accepted me if I was still doing that nonsense. Amen. All right. That's right. So let's keep going here. So we have to reverence the Holy Spirit. We got to understand that this is not a special, when we're talking about reverencing the Holy Spirit, a lot of people get into this mindset of the unpardonable sin because it's in the scripture. So we're going to talk about it. In Isaiah 63, verse 10, it says this, do not vex. That word means annoy or irritate the Holy Spirit. What was annoying or irritating the Holy Spirit? Rebellion. But they rebelled and vexed the Holy Spirit. They annoyed him. They irritated him. When we're walking in rebellion, we are irritating him who lives inside of us. He doesn't like that. We don't quench him. We don't grieve him. And we don't want to vex him. And the unpardonable sin is there's so many people who have walked away from the Lord because they feel like they maybe have committed the unpardonable sin. It says in the scripture in Hebrews, the one who commits the unpardonable sin, the one that won't be forgiven, that person doesn't want to repent and wants nothing to do with Jesus. So how do you know if you've committed the unpardonable sin or not? Well, if you want to be right with the Lord, you haven't. That's it. Amen. Your heart is not hardened to where you don't want to be right with the Lord. And what was it talking about, the unpardonable sin? It's talking about trodding underfoot the Son of God. It's talking about taking the thing that is holy. In Mark chapter 3, the actual context of this scripture, they were saying that Jesus cast out devils by the devil himself. Jesus was casting out devils by who? By the Holy Spirit. He is the manifester. He is the one doing the work. Jesus would speak, the Holy Spirit would act. And the reason it always worked that way for Jesus, because Jesus said, I don't do anything by myself. I only do what I see the Father telling me to do. That's why it always worked that way. We can operate the same way today. The same way today. We have the same Holy Spirit. God changes not. Amen. But they were calling the act of the Holy Spirit a work of the devil. That. Think of it this way. You can cuss me all you want. You can beat on me all you want. But if you go after my children or my wife, we're going to have issues. When God the Father speaks about the Holy Spirit and Jesus, it's almost in the same way. Do what you want to me. Jesus died. But don't you dare speak about the Holy Spirit. That's where this is coming from. Don't you dare call my spirit that of the devil. That's what he's talking about in reference to that in Mark chapter 3. But we don't have to worry about that here. We want to continue to go into how he helps us. So let's look at these manifestations again. Three of these manifestations. Now, there's lots of theologians who have classified these in many different ways. So I'm just going to give you this one, this classification, because that's where I'm going with it. Three of them reveal something. A word of wisdom reveals something. A word of knowledge reveals something. The discernings of spirits reveal something. Three of them do something. Special faith does something. Gifts of healings, inner workings of miracles, they do something. And three of them say something. Prophecy, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And that's where we're headed as we continue on this week on the Holy Spirit. So let's look today at the first two. A word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. Young's literal translation, a literal translation of it. He wrote Young's Concordance. He's dived into language more than I ever would have. But it says, not the word, like King James, but a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. This is not a special ability to study. See, the problem with today is when you believe these things have passed away, you got to come up with an alternative. So what's the alternative to a word of knowledge? Well, that just means somebody has the ability to study and get good grades, or, you know, they can learn well. No. Gifts of healings, well, that's our doctors and nurses today. No, that's not it at all. These are supernatural manifestations of the Spirit of God. He's not going to tell me or you all that he knows, because he knows everything. So he's giving you, you know, not the long diatribe or the master's thesis of wisdom. He's giving you a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, something that you need in that moment of time for help, to help you, to counsel you, to comfort you, to strengthen you, because this is who he is inside of each and every one of us. So let's take a look at some of these examples in the Bible. We're going to go to the Old Testament, and you're like, wait, man, the day of Pentecost, that was, yeah, I understand that. But every manifestation or the gifts of the Spirit you can see in the Old Testament, except for tongues and interpretation of tongues, every single one of them. We got to understand, in the Old Testament, they were not filled with the Spirit of God continually. The Spirit of God would come upon them to prophesy. There was a special anointing of the Spirit upon kings to direct and lead and to tell forth, and upon prophets to direct and lead and tell forth. And this had to happen because the presence of God wasn't in every single person who believes on the Lord Jesus like he is today. The presence of the Lord was where? In the ark. In the tent. Or later in the temple. That's where the presence of the Lord was. You had to go to the presence. We don't have to do that anymore. Amen? That's an awesome thing. I mean, we got to get, once we get a true revelation that he's always with us at all times, the one who knows all things to lead, guide, and direct us, our worlds will be changed. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Take a look at a couple of these examples. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 3 through 6, and I promise not to laugh. Yes, I taught middle school for many years, and certain words are funny to me. So I'm going to change the words in the scripture. Please, I repent. I'm not changing the meaning of the words. Now, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Becherath, and the son of, why did I read verse 1? Verse 3. And the donkeys of Kish, okay, the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of your servants with thee and arise and go seek the donkeys. Verse 4, and he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found not the donkeys. Then they passed through the land of Shalem, and there they were not either. And he passed through the land of Benjamin, but they did not find the donkeys. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come, let us return, unless my father leave, caring for the donkeys, and takes no thought for us. Wow, his father thought a lot about him, right? He wanted his animals back, but didn't care if his son came back. In verse 6, he said unto him, behold, now there is in the city a man of God. Now again, we're in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, these people were spiritually dead. Okay, so things were done by revelation. There was a man of God they knew, heard from God, who this Holy Spirit would come upon, that they could seek guidance and counsel from. Amen. So behold, there's an in the city. Today he would just ask the Holy Spirit inside him, hey, where's my keys, Holy Spirit? Can you please help me? I've lost them again. Right? So, but they have to go to the man of God. He's an honorable man. All that he says comes surely to pass. Now let us go there. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Now, I was listening to another person kind of go through this. And one of the ways we can differentiate between a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge is this. And I began to study this out. And I believe, as I've been studying, to find this to be true. A word of wisdom is dealing with the future, the plan, the purpose, and the will of God. A word of knowledge deals with our present or our past. Does that make sense? It's a word of wisdom. It's a word of knowledge. And we're going to see that in the scripture, the difference between the two. Verse 15 of the same chapter. Verse 15, now the Lord had told Samuel, the prophet, in his ear, a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people because their cry has come unto me. Is this a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge? When he says, tomorrow this time I will send you a man out of the land of Benjamin that you will anoint to be king. This is a word of wisdom given to Samuel. Why? He's talking about the plan and purpose of God. You're anointing the future king of Israel. That's God's plan. It's going to happen in the future. Saul and Samuel had never met. They did not know each other. This is something that Samuel did not know until it was supernaturally revealed unto him. Well, you're like, well, how can that be? It's easy. If you tell me today your middle name, Tim, now I know your middle name. A moment ago, I didn't know it. It's the same thing, but this is the Holy Spirit speaking to them. Amen. So God is speaking to him, and he's saying, tomorrow this time, you will meet this man. I want you to anoint him as king. Verse 17, when Samuel saw Saul, now remember, he didn't know Saul, who he was, never met him, didn't know what he looked like. But when he saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, this is the man that I spoke of. This is a word of knowledge. The Lord is imparting to him right there. This is the man I was telling you about yesterday that you're going to anoint as king over Israel with the word of wisdom. This same shall reign over my people. Word of wisdom revealed God's plan. I want you to anoint this guy. He's going to be king. Word of knowledge. Hey, this is him. You didn't meet him before. There he is. It's kind of like, do you believe in love at first sight? Well, if it's a word of knowledge from the Lord, that would be a way to describe that, right? Amen? All right. It's not a feeling at first sight. Love is a spiritual thing, right? Amen. So, we continue to look here, verse 18 through 20. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray you, where is the seer's house? See, I told you he didn't know who he was. He's talking to him. They'd never met before. They had no idea who one another was. Verse 19, Samuel answered Saul, I am the seer. Go up before me into the high place. You shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in my heart. As for the donkeys that you lost 3 days ago, do not worry about them. They are found. Another word of knowledge. The Lord was telling him and letting him know the donkeys were found to tell Saul that they were found. Did he tell him where every stray donkey was at the time? No. Did God know where every stray donkey was? Yes. But he just gave him the word that he needed and help for that time to ease his mind so Saul could pay attention to the word of the Lord that was getting ready to come to pass in Saul's life. This is why we have to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. This is why so often when someone who's operating in a prophetic role, before they even give you your prophecy, they will tell you a word of knowledge will be given to them that captures your attention. And all of a sudden you stand upright. And you're like, wait, this is coming from the Lord. And now you're able to receive what the Lord says next, the prophetic word over your life. If he was still worrying about the donkeys when he was eating dinner with Samuel, he would never have listened to what all Samuel would have had to say. But that wasn't the case. I want to read this story to you. Let's give you some examples today. I don't normally use my phone when I preach, but I didn't want to try to put this in my notes because it would have taken up too much room. This is a story from Tim, my brother-in-law, who's also a leader in our church. He's here somewhere. Did he leave? Ah, there he is. And I asked him if I could share this. I'm not embarrassing him. This is a spark plug story. This is Tim speaking. I noticed my car was misfiring, so I proceeded to replace the spark plugs and ignition coils. After installing new parts, the car wouldn't start. I spent a few weeks watching YouTube videos, posting on car forums, and trying various things to no avail. Now, how many do that? We already use our intellect to find all that we can know. But ultimately, to have it done right, it's being led by the Spirit. Amen? I do the same thing all the time. I had contacted a shop in Trafalgar and was arranging to have the car towed over there. I was in the garage one last time trying to figure out what was wrong when Lisa, that's his wife, walked in and asked if I had prayed. Tim said, I sort of prayed once, but it was kind of half-hearted. At this point, I was desperate, and when she left, I got more specific, and I asked the Holy Spirit to guide me, to help me, to counsel me, to strengthen me. Well, who wants to pay to get a tow and have somebody else look at it? Especially when you figure out what the problem is. Just then, a thought came to me. A thought. From whom? A word of what? Of knowledge. Right there. How easily would it have been to just dismiss that thought? Oh, no, it couldn't have been that. That's too simple. That's too dumb. That's too easy. Whatever. But not so. You recognize it's the Holy Spirit. You respond. You're reverencing that he is God. And you respond, you act, and you yield to it. A thought came to me to pull one of the ignition coils and spark plugs out and check whether they were connected correctly. In doing so, I noticed several things I missed earlier and was able to get the issue resolved by myself. Amen. How often? Just a thought. I want to encourage you. I was cleaning out a sprayer. I've cleaned out thousands of times paint sprayers in my life. More than I like to, admit. I mean, there's times where I still do it wrong. I was telling the pressure hose to come out. And one time, I had stain that started on this right shoe and crossed my whole body up my left shoulder and hit my left ear because it exploded because I didn't release the pressure. I'm like, really? That was staining the fence over Poston Road. I was not very happy that day either. But I did not walk up and down the road cussing. That was over. That was over. Amen. But I'm sitting here trying to get the gun off because there's a little filter in there, and I knew that what I was staining, it was hot. It probably gotten hard in there, and I didn't want it to ruin the gun. And I couldn't get the filter off. Put the wrench on it. I'm going both ways. I'm like, and my flesh gets me all the time. I said, this shouldn't be so hard. I've done this a million times. This is so dumb. Anybody else can do this easier. Why is it hard for me? Now, these are all lies from the enemy, but I still spout them every once in a while, and then I repent. Stupid. You have the mind of Christ. But then a word came up inside my spirit, a word of knowledge, and it was one word, pressure. Like, yeah, I'm under pressure right now. This thing won't stop. No, that wasn't it. And so I just went back and released the pressure, and the gun came right off. But, I mean, I'm sitting here struggling and fussing with this, but he had mercy on me, and he helped me, and he gave me a word of knowledge, and he gave me, it was pressure. See, too often we think about, well, these are for ministers or people standing up here to do this and show spectacular things. No, these are supernatural manifestations of the helper inside each and every one of us that we are to be seeing and experiencing in our lives. It is not for a special meeting that packs the house only. Absolutely not. This is for you and your special meeting every day with the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right, good. I'm glad. Now, where was I here? Oh, the spark plug story. Yeah, we went to that. But like I said, this is available to all. Let's move on here. Let me catch up here because I don't want to lead astray and just keep you here forever. How many times, though, have we dismissed these thoughts? You know, in my life, I found myself many times praying for more. Anybody done that? Don't raise your hands. I'm praying for more. God, I want to see more. I want to see this in our church. I want to see this in our service. I want to see this in my life. I want to see. I'm praying. What am I praying for? I'm praying for spectacular things constantly instead of acknowledging and reverencing the supernatural in my life every single day. And then I'm like, oh, Lord, you're right. I just want to know you more. I want to yield to you more. And then allow you to do whatever you want to do. And trust that that is the right thing, knowing that is the right thing at the right time, for the right moment, for the right person. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah was having a pity party. He just went ahead by a massive demonstration of the miracle of the Lord, where fire came down, consumed the altar that was covered in water, and then he killed all the prophets of Baal. An awesome show of God in 1 Kings 19. And then Jezebel, that evil woman, was she evil or was she just being led by evil? Right? There's a difference. Right? We love people, always. She wanted to kill Elijah for this. It's one woman, Elijah, you just killed. How many prophets of Baal? God just brought fire down. Just pray fire down upon her. I'm not saying you should do that, but God's done that too. What about the captains of 50 who came up to Elijah and said, come on down here, man of God. Whoosh, fire took them all out. Second guy, come on down here, man of God. Fire took them all out. They weren't respecting God's presence where he was. The third guy comes. Oh, I perceive you're a man of God. He humbled himself. Right? I'm going to say it, Chad. Or what about this? These children were making fun of the manifest presence of God upon a prophet and called him Old Baldy. Two she-bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of them. We got to reverence the Holy Spirit of God. Thank God we live with mercy and the blood is on the mercy seat, because I was rebellious as a child too, and no she-bears came after me, praise the Lord. But we got to understand this reverence and what we're doing. We got to understand that this is who he is, but we shouldn't have to see those experiences and be like a donkey. We already talked about being rein trained. When the Holy Spirit lightly taps you with the rein on the thick neck of that horse, we got to move with him. Not have to have that bit that pulls us and yanks us or be led by that carrot. Come a little farther and I'll show you an angel. No, we're not to exalt angels anyway. Absolutely not. That's not the way that it's supposed to be. But I've missed it by longing for this. But here in Elijah's pouting, all those things could have happened to one woman. But instead, what happened? He pouted. He said, I'm the only one left, Lord. And the Lord goes, no, you're not. There's 7,000 who've not bowed the knee to Baal. 7,000. That was a word of knowledge. The Lord gave him a word of knowledge, and it was a number. I share with you in my life, the Lord gave me 105,000. I filled in the blanks, though. I thought, that's what I'm going to sell my house for. We sold our house for 92,000. Well, that's what I'm going to buy my next house for. Bought our next house for 119,000. Did I hear from the Lord? Absolutely did. Because in the middle of that, I put in a bid on a house for $105,000 and didn't get it, but missed it by $1,500. That wasn't to be my house. If I didn't follow that word of knowledge, we would be living in the wrong place. Who knows what could happen? I have no idea. But I obeyed. Can the Lord give you a number? Absolutely can give you a number. Are you praying about a number when you go to buy a car, when you go to buy a home? What school to send your children to? Can the Lord just give you by a word of knowledge that number? Absolutely he can. But don't expect an angel to come down from heaven with a deal or no deal briefcase and a drum rolling lights and go, there it is. No, it's going to come out of your spirit. It's going to come out of your spirit. And you're going to have a co-witness, your spirit and the Holy Spirit of what that number is. Please stand with me as close here. Chad, if you can just put on some music as we close. 2 Kings, you don't want to turn there because you're standing, but I'm going to turn there. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'll give you one more example here, because I believe it's awesome. Verse 8, the king of Syria was warring against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such place I will make my camp. The man of God, the Holy Spirit, came upon him and gave him this word of knowledge, sent unto the king of Israel and said, beware, do not pass this place, because that is where the Syrians are. That is the word of knowledge, saving them. This happened 2 times. Aerial reconnaissance did not exist at this point. Overhead satellite images did not exist to show where the Syrians were encamping. This was a word of knowledge given to the prophet of God who spoke it to the king. And they didn't go by that place. Twice it happened. So much so, the king of Syria thought he had a mole in his own camp. He said, who's telling the Israelites where we're at? Who's telling the Israelites where we're at? Nobody. But they said, surely, when you're speaking in your bedchamber, the Lord hears you. And he was giving that knowledge to the prophet. And the prophet shared it. What about Jesus in John chapter 4? The woman caught in adultery. He said, go get your husband. She goes, I don't have a husband. You're right to say you haven't had a husband, but you've had 5 husbands. Where'd that number come from? A word of knowledge given to Jesus by the Holy Spirit within him. And then she goes, I perceive you're a prophet. And she was right there because of that word of knowledge, able to listen and receive all that he was about ready to say about the living water that was going to flow. She would never thirst again inside of her. What is this living water? He is this living water. He is the Holy Spirit of God who is inside each and every one of us. I want to close with this last story. There was a minister. I don't know his name. I'm just relating a story I heard. There was a minister and his wife. This was probably in the 60s, I think. They were traveling around. They were traveling ministers in their camper. And they were late to get to the church. They're supposed to be ministering at that morning. And he's driving. He said, I don't know where to go. I turned down this street, turned down this street. I can't find a church anywhere. And all of a sudden, the wife, who we all know is more spiritual than husbands, but the wife said, we need to get a newspaper. So he goes, okay. He goes, yeah, that's fine. We get a newspaper. Right now, we're late. I don't have time to stop for a newspaper. So they drive around a little bit longer. She was being nice and polite and submitting to him. She goes, I just keep hearing this word. We need to get a newspaper. She goes, now? I'm trying to find this church. We're already late. He goes, yeah, now, honey. They pulled over to the gas station to get a newspaper. Okay, got your newspaper. Starts driving again. What are we going to do with the newspaper? She opens up to the religious section, and right there was their picture, a picture of the church, and a map how to get it because they were ministering there that day. It's a word. It's a word. The same couple bought a new camper. And they pulled up in this RV site and hadn't used it yet. They got it off the lot and they pulled it right away. It's pouring outside. And so the guy, the owner of the campground, was helping them get it set up because it was his first time. And she's sitting in the car, said, "We'll do it, honey, because you don't get wet." They're soaked to the bone. And she starts getting a word of knowledge inside of her, light bulbs. No lights would come on in the camper whatsoever. And they just keep going around it, plugging in, testing everything. Nothing would get the light. She goes, she finally rolls down a window. They stop what they're doing. He goes, "What is it, honey?" "I know it sounds silly, but I keep getting this word, light bulbs." Not a single bulb was screwed in the entire camper. So what I'm saying to you now with these stories, these are real life examples. When the Lord is speaking to us and helping us, we need to first recognize it's Him who is talking and thank Him for. We need not only recognize, but respond to what He is saying. Yield to what He is saying. And we do that all by first reverencing who it is who is inside of us. I'm gonna close and we're gonna pray. And then Pastor Adam and I are up here. If you would like prayer today for anything, if you believe the Lord has directed you somewhere and you just want somebody to stand with you in faith on the word that you have been given, or any other need that you may or may not have, we'll be up here to minister and more than welcome to come on up. But as soon as I'm done praying, if that's not you, I also want to go ahead and release you. You're free to go and go to be blessed. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you. God, not only did you love us so much that as soon as sin came into this world, God, you already created the way out. That you already had a redemption plan that is far greater than anything we ever could have thought of our own selves. And you gave us your son, Jesus. And I thank you, Jesus, for coming, obediently following the Holy Spirit, obediently following the will of our Father in heaven and dying for each and every one of us. And I thank you that you told us to wait, Jesus. You told the disciples to wait. They were saved when you breathed in them, but then you told them to wait until power would come upon them. And then you sent your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to each and every one of us. I thank you for the Holy Spirit's work in each and every one of our lives. I pray right now for my own life and for those here who are listening that you would help us to better know, to better hear, to better see and understand the witness of Him who resides in each and every one of us. To allow Him to lead and guide and direct us and for us to obey and to follow and to yield to every leading that He has in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.